She is the director of travel programs at the Association of Former Students at Texas A&M University, the Aggies. Please welcome Dr. Jennifer Bohack.
Well, howdy. Howdy from Aggie land and conversation. And I'm thrilled to be here. It's good to see y'all.
How are you, Jennifer?
It's been too long.
Way too long. Help me out, though, because BJ Odom, I don't know where he's in the pictures you're looking at. He does the opening of our show. And we had a discussion yesterday, the correct way to pronounce your last name.
Well, there's two different ways. The Czech way is Bohatch. But okay. As a lot of Czechs came over, Bohack was the more phonetically way. So I go by either way or anything close.
Well, he got it. BJ, what did you say?
Bohack.
Well, heck, so he got it right. So that's we want to make sure we do that correctly. Dottie, would you like to introduce John also?
Absolutely. Jennifer, please meet BJ Odom. He has been in the radio industry for 40 years, and now he's joined us on the show. And next to him is John Ferrantino, a legendary comedy magician. Has worked Oceana a few times, but John and I go back 30 years when we both worked at Norwegian Cruise Line, and Tom and BJ go back about 40 years as well.
Yeah, we're all
respective
friends.
Industries, but we're all friends, and we are so glad to have you with us today.
And we're all here because
of Wuhan.
That's right. All because of
Wuhan.
That's the reason we're here. The Wuhan came one day, and I thought, well, I'm not doing anything. So I started this show, and 2 weeks later, John joined it. And then later on, BJ was on the radio, and they went in a different direction, which you know what that means. And so he joined, and now basically BJ joins the show. It's 2 hours of peace and quiet for his wife, because they've been married a long time. And she said, BJ, find something to do. You're annoying me. Anyway, for those people that don't know, Jennifer has a doctor of philosophy. And I guess after a few years of being philosophical, you said, the hell with it, let's travel. So, because I looked it up, for 19 years, you've been the director of the travel programs for the great Aggies. And they are great. We have dinner with them when they come on board. They are loyal. They're a great audience. They're good laughers. They have a tendency to have a drink every now and then. They're my kind of people. So.
Well, y'all are all kind of people, and we miss it. You know, our last cruise on Oceana was February. We were in the Caribbean on Serena, and then, of course, everything kind of happened. But, we are missing it. I've got some of my travelers that are telling me whenever Oceana is ready to sail, they'll get on a ship and sail anywhere, nowhere. Just want to be on an Oceana cruise.
I think that's how it's going to be in the beginning. You know, when you're a nice enough degree to come on, I started to do a lot of times we just wing it, but I started to read up a little bit about Texas A&M, and I know they do it big in Texas, but I read that there are 500,000 alumni of Texas A&M.
Wow. So,
we do. A half a billion people. That's amazing. And means it's pretty easy to get a bunch of people to go on a cruise when you got 500,000 out there. Yeah, I'll go. What the heck? And it's also the size of the school is 5,200 acres. What else do I have here? And been around since 1876. So I wanted to talk a little bit before we get to travel, just a little bit about that school, because a lot of people just know it. A&M went to SEC and they had Johnny Manziel. After that, I don't know what happened. So it's a pretty impressive school.
It is. It is. Yes, we have currently over 70,000 students, and we are lucky that a lot of our students are back here on campus. So we're doing kind of a hybrid as far as classes go. So it's not as busy as typically is, but it is normal. And you're right, we have over 500,000 former students, which we're quite large, but we're also a very young alumni base. Over half of those alumni, we don't call them alumni, we're calling them former students for various reasons, but over half of that 500,000 have graduated, I believe, since 1998. So, because we've grown so much, when I was here in the 80s, we had 36,000 students. Now we have over 70,000. The big boom actually came in the late 60s when Earl Rudder, who was the general in D-Day for Pointe du Hoc, was our president. He actually made Texas A&M non-military and admitted women. So we were all male, all military till the late 60s. And so then that basically changed Texas A&M forever.
And I looked up, there's some famous former students? Is it not, no, this is the Jersey me coming out. If you just went with alumni, there would be less, but former students is a kind of a good idea because they're still part of the family and they might just go ahead and finish what they started kind of instead of, yeah, I went to A&M. How long? Oh, a week. That would have, yeah. I see you wearing the A&M jacket. Yeah, I went there 6 hours as opposed to graduating. But I know every time I say this on the ship, former governor of Texas, Rick Perry, graduated at A&M, but so did Lyle Lovett. I'm a big Lyle Lovett fan. And Dottie and I were in Vegas to see George Strait. And the opening act for George Strait was Lyle Lovett and Robert Keane, the two of them together, both Aggies, both alumni. And then, of course, Johnny Manziel and Robert Gates. And there's a list of really, really impressive people and you that graduated from. I didn't look. Is all of your degrees from A&M all the way up the ladder?
They're all from A&M. My undergraduate was actually in animal science, ag business, and then my master's and PhD were higher education administration. So prior to travel, I worked with student athletes. And then prior to that, I was in the ag field. So I always say I went from herding animals to herding people now in the travel business.
So. Well, I saw that being from Jersey in the comic. When I saw your bachelor's was in animal science, I figured you and BJ would get along because he used to have a farm in Indiana. He had a farm and everything. He never worked the farm.
What was the first year they graduated from there?
1876.
Yeah, we founded in 1876. And a little bit about former students, that happened during World War II, where a lot of our Aggies were commissioned to go fight in the war, and some never came back to finish their degree, but they semester or two or more to Texas A&M. So that's how the former students came about, to honor those Aggies that fought in World War II.
See, I knew there was a nice answer to it. As
I was thinking they were probably the cruise group on Holland America.
So you were on a ship, but you were able to get back home. We were on Serena. I don't know if
I got on March 4th. You had already left.
We joined March 4th. And we were on, and I was sent home first. And then Dottie was, I picked her up like 10 days later. We were lucky that we were able to, you know, get home. So you were lucky that you were able to get your group home.
Oh, no. I had two trips after that. So we actually, the Caribbean cruise was perfectly fine. Yeah. Then I took a group of Aggies to Tanzania. So we went to Tanzania, East Africa with a group, and everything was wonderful there and no problems at all. Then I came home for about a day or two, and I took a group to Australia, New Zealand. And it was a 21-day land trip. And so we actually were in the outback. This is the first part of March, and we started hearing about all these things, but everything in Australia was great. And of course, in the outback, we're kind of remote. Well, the first thing we started hearing about is toilet paper shortages, and we were like, what's going on in the United States? Well, our company had suggested we come home right away. Well, already we knew New Zealand's borders had closed, so we knew we weren't going to continue on to New Zealand, so we had to leave back in Sydney. But then we decided, well, let's just go on to Sydney, finish our 4 days there and head home. So we had our flights rearranged, got on a Qantas plane. So that was March the 20th. And I think 2 days later, President Trump said all Americans have to come home. So it was interesting on our Qantas flight. It was 100% full. It was one of those A380s, 500 people. But all the study abroad students come home, all the business people. And of course, as you know, there was a lot of cruise ships that were disembarking there in Sydney Harbor. So we were full. We get back to Texas, we're landing in Dallas, and it was no big deal. I mean, we just went on our merry way. No one asked us anything. So we were fine. We came back to a different world, literally on March the 20th. And
if you were on a ship, it was different. You ended up, you know, on a cruise to nowhere because there's nowhere to go to take people off. In fact, off the subject, Dottie reported this morning that a Carnival ship rescued 24 people off a boat that's sinking off the coast of Florida. And I'm curious what's going to happen to those 24 people, because you can't come into the United States and go anywhere unless you go by private transportation, unless they've changed it. Once they got rescued by that ship, they might have an issue getting off the ship, because I know everybody that worked on the ship has had problems. So
I know, Jennifer, there was a ship in Europe that had brought their guests back to the United States, and a lot of them were sick. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, a few died with the cruise passengers coming, because I know there was a ship in Australia as well that had some guests that were ill. And if those were on your flight, my word, that flight should have been quarantined when you got into Texas.
Well, actually, it was the Ruby Princess, because we were doing a harbor cruise and we saw that ship sitting there. Yes. And we had already heard the news. So, you know, there could have been, I don't know. We were told to quarantine for 2 weeks. But then again, at that point, everybody was quarantining. And
mm-hmm. None of your group took ill?
No,
we
made the 14 days and so we were fine. It was a great experience. We're still talking about it to this day. And we did have somebody exposed on a previous flight. We were flying from Sydney to Cannes, but we didn't find out about it till we got home and she was fine. So so everybody was very happy. We're trying to get back into the travel business right now, which we're excited about. And we're looking forward to hopefully when Oceania starts sailing again and our travels.
Where have your trips gone so far now? Because you did start traveling a few weeks ago.
We did. We have been to New Orleans twice. It's called Operation Homefront with the National World War II Museum. And we were thrilled to spend a long weekend in New Orleans and with the museum and stayed at the Higgins Hotel. And it was fantastic. They did a wonderful job. The Aggies had fun. So people are ready to travel. You know, when I always say, when you're ready, I'm here, we're going to make it happen. So two successful trips under our belt. And now we're working on a few mini trips to through the fall and like a little meetups. We're doing one in Fredericksburg in a few weeks. And we're also doing hopefully one to Savannah, Georgia in a few weeks. So just a way to engage our travelers and get them out there for those that are ready to travel.
What took you from your degree to travel?
Well, I was when I finished my PhD, I was working with student athlete career services and student athlete development. And I actually was teaching a lot of classes and I actually loved it. Well, the president of our alumni association and here at the Association of Former Students had known me for a long time. And my predecessor had retired after 25 years. And I want you to take over the travel program. And I was like, I'm not going to be a travel agent. This is not for me. I wrote a textbook. I'm happy in career development. Well, he started working with me. And it took him about 6 months because when I took over in 2001, Texas A&M was maybe doing 8 trips a year. And it was very tiny and very small. But my challenge was to build it, to keep in line with the needs of our former students in a variety of programming and a diverse offering of types of trips. So so I took the job. Well, I started April 2001, and we all know what happened last year, and the travel turned upside down. So I was scratching my head going, what did I just get myself into? But we got through that and kept moving on, and we're getting through this. So last year, we were one of the biggest travel programs in the country. We had offered over 80 trips all over the world, and we had 1,500 Aggies travel with us in 2019. So hoping to get back to that in 2021 and 2022.
They're all good people. I sit here because you know me, and you know how I'm not raptured by it. And I'm thinking, okay, animal science to philosophy. Did it happen in the corral? Did you, were you looking at a horse going to be, I don't know. How did that change come? Was it something that you always were interested in? I don't even know. Really, I know philosophy is deep thinking, correct?
My undergrad was a Bachelor of Science. So it was hard science for animal science and ag business. So I got into that because my parents had a farm and I showed steers growing up in high school. So it was part of my background, FFA and all that. And then working as an advisor, my boss said, if you want to stay in higher ed, you need to get a master's. So I did that. Well, I started with the athlete development and then I did my dissertation on former football players in the newly created Big 12 Conference to tell you how long ago that was.
No longer than that. I just, it's when I looked, you know, we've known each other a long time from O'Shannon's. As long as I've been at O'Shannon, Jennifer's going on with the Aggies. But I never looked at the background. I just always knew, you know, here come the Aggies. And it was always a lot of fun. But that's a lot of school. I mean, you wrote a textbook. BJ and I, we carried a couple.
yeah, but one thing we got in common, we both yeah. were in FFA.
What does that mean? What is that?
Future Farmers of America.
All right. And did you have your own livestock, BJ?
Yeah. Oh, lived on a farm.
I don't know. I thought it was a farm with like hay or wheat or something.
It was like corn, beans, wheat, all that stuff. But we also had cattle. We had pig. We had a lot of swine. Had everything cows. You see on a farm. Goats even and sheep.
If you've watched the show at all, you've heard us breaking his chops. BJ grew up on a 1,000-acre farm in Indiana, but because he was born with a defective heart, he really couldn't work at the farm. He would sit in his mother's hair salon and old women would pat him on the head. And
they're afraid he was going to buy the farm.
And 17 and a half years ago, a heart transplant here in Tampa General. And he's still hanging in there. The doctors told his parents he won't make it past 15 or 16. And they never told him that, but they knew that. So they never made him read a book. So he had a good life. Anyway, but we kid him about being on the farm. And so I didn't know you never fed the livestock. Did you talk to him, BJ?
I showed him just like her at the county fair. I didn't show steer because being, you know, with a bad heart and a little bit weaker, my brother showed steers all the time. Right. But I had the reserve grand champion barrel back in, you know.
Is that right? See that?
Yeah.
Something in common. So.
Jennifer, do you actually plan the trips or does somebody do that and you just execute them?
We actually coordinate with different tour operators. So okay. We have about 13 different operators that specialize in different types of trips. So one of our companies called Go Next, they're the ones that specialize in our Oceania cruises. Mm-hmm. And the Go Next people on board. We have another operator that specializes in sports and entertainment travel, like the Kentucky Derby, the Masters, Balloon Fiesta. One of our companies specializes in expedition type trips. Another one is African safaris. So everybody kind of has a niche. Some do European and river cruise travel. So we work with them. They put the packages together and then we contract with them. In fact, right now, believe it or not, we're working on 2022, which is fun and exciting, but we're still really not sure what 2021 is going to look like. But in fact, I've got meetings this afternoon planning 2022 trips. So I think we're very hopeful. I've been hearing y'all talk about, I think travel is going to be back and it's going to be back bigger and better than ever. 2021 for a lot of us is going to be kind of a mess because what happened is we had all these trips since March that have been postponed or rescheduled. So we're putting our travelers onto those trips, different cruises, different land trips. But then you also have the trips that we had on the books to begin with. And we have our beautiful travel catalog that we have just published. And so these are the trips we already had planned. So now we're adding 2021 passengers onto this. So it's exciting. I think I'm hopeful by spring that we're going to be out there. We're looking at doing Antarctica in January because it's on a small expedition ship. So we're moving forward with that. And then in February, we've got a Tanzania safari that Tanzania is open. So we're looking at that. So we're just, it's week by week, day by day to get folks out there. And
I give you credit. John is over 30 years in the cruise industry as a performer. Dottie's over 30. I'm in mid-20s. But John, we've done all that 25-hour flight travel. John's been lucky for many years. He was on the Norway every 2 weeks on the Norway, so he was in and out of Miami. But when you say Tanzania and Australia and the 24 hours in a plane, and you smile when you say it, it's amazing. It's like, although that is Dottie's dream to get to a safari. We were in Cape Town at the end of a contract and at that point was exhausted and decided.
It was the end of 5 months and I just know, let me go home.
Yeah. And I
Well, if you're not cruising in February, y'all are welcome to come join the Aggies February the 15th, I believe. So it's all
I'll send Dottie.
Yeah, so there you go.
We live in Orlando and I said, Dottie, Busch Gardens. They have a Animal Kingdom right here. You get on the monorail and you get a hot dog and you wave at them. That's good enough, you know. But I would love to. Yeah, Dottie's. That's one thing she really wants to do before
that in Antarctica. If you're doing, is that the expedition cruise?
Yes, yes. That's a fun trip. I've been four times and it is just a fascinating place. And people say, oh, it must be so cold, and you're really not. I mean, it's, you know, it's that dry cold, but it's beautiful and there's lots to see. People think, what am I going to see there? Well, you would never think about loving a penguin, but you fall in love with those penguins. So there's lots to see and do with the whales and the icebergs and the calving of the icebergs. So it's
how about polar bears?
Polar bears are in the Arctic Circle.
Oh, okay.
We do that trip as well. We do an expedition to the Arctic Circle to see the polar bears.
Is that a Zodiac trip? Do you get on Zodiac to go in from the ship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't do all the tours, do you? All the trips?
No. I do as much as I possibly can. On a typical year, 2019, I was on the road about 250 days of the year.
Whoa.
And other staff members and campus entities will host our trips. So some of the smaller trips may not have a host, but then we'll have some of our staff that host. And you probably met some of them on your cruises as well.
But I
you're the only one I think I've ever met.
And I would say this, if a trip is advertised for the Aggies and you're the person that's leading it, I have a feeling it sells faster than if you're not leading it, because we've seen you lead, and you know, it's always a lot of fun, and they're always great people too. They really are. I have a question unrelated to travel. Did A&M have to mortgage a building to pay Jimbo Fisher's contract? How are they doing? I think they just won, right? I didn't look them up today. How are they doing?
They're doing well. Actually, we beat Florida here at home 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was a big win.
A big win. We needed that win. And then we beat Mississippi State this past weekend there at Mississippi State. So we're off this weekend, and then we're playing Arkansas at home next weekend. So we're excited to be having football. We're at 25% capacity in the stadium. Of course, the stadium holds 110,000. So there's still a lot of Aggies there. It is different on campus. We don't have tailgating. There's, you know, the core is marching in, but the band is not marching at halftime, which is they're there, but they're just not marching. So, but we're just excited that we're doing well. The stadium was renovated about 3 years ago when Johnny Manziel was here, and it was $500 million renovation. It's
big. Well, SEC's big business.
It is big business.
Jennifer, here's a question for you. Of all these trips and all these places you go, you got to have at least one favorite.
I do. And most people that know me, it's East Africa, the Tanzania, the safari. It's a place I've probably been on 25 safaris in East Africa. And some years I do back to back. And it is a place that it never gets old, because it's always so different with the animals and the people and the culture. And it's just, it's amazing. It gets into my soul. And we help a little school down there, Zuriki School. Last year we brought like 600 pounds of donations with us. Everybody carried an extra bag, bringing them laptops and supplies and things. But it's just a place that I think everybody should go once in their lifetime, because it's special and it's wild. And you know, you get to see the animals in the wild doing things.
Have you had any close calls with the animals?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's such a Texas answer. Yeah. 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 It was just a 40,000 pound animal came at me, but I talked to it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing scary. Our guides are wonderful, so they know exactly how to read the animals. Like if an elephant is, you know, right close to us, they know if he's seriously about charging us or just kind of teasing us a little bit. So
we had, the only time I was in Africa, we had an elephant charge, literally just missed the back of our vehicle. I was so taken. I was like, whoa, where is it? Where did it go? I couldn't even get my camera up to get a picture of it. So it just happened so fast.
Knowing Dottie, she's yelling, come back. I wasn't ready. Come back. It's going to be great for our Christmas card. Come back. I wasn't with you.
And that sounds like our travelers. It's funny, on the first day of safari, we head out to the parks, and so you start seeing animals. Well, you know, they're looking at these wildebeest or impala, and they're like 2 miles away, and everybody's taking pictures. Well, a few days later, they start getting demanding, like, we want to see something up close. And we want to, you know, when you do, the animals are right there. By the end of the trip, I was like, we want to see something get killed. We want to see, you know, we want to see something get
so, that, you know, when you go around Cape Horn on a cruise ship and it's not rough, the guests are like, this isn't any fun. It's not rough. I'm like, shut up.
Thank God.
You don't want it rough. You just don't want it.
Thank God.
When we got attacked by the pirates in Somalia way back when, the first attack, after that, the guests were like, where are the pirates? Nowhere. We don't want the pirates again. Well, we thought they might be here again. We have our camera ready. No. I guess it's human nature. Not me. I would want to be far away from. I had an emu chase me in Australia. That was enough.
Then he bought insurance.
that's not the dumbest commercial you've ever. Buy insurance because I watched an emu lay an egg. That was a volleyball, wasn't it? Well, we're running out of time here. Unfortunately, we've talked to you forever. We can't wait to see you on a ship again. We love when the Aggies come on board.
We do.
And that's no exaggeration. You know, Victor, tell me last name, Dottie.
Conseil.
Was on yesterday.
And I was watching.
Yeah. And afterwards, I was talking to a friend of mine. He goes, yeah, I watched your show. I watched you sucking up to the boss. Because I meant what I said about Victor. He's a great GM. Great. Really a people's guy, you know. And the same is true of anybody that comes on from the Traveling Aggies. They're just great people to hang out with, all successful people. And even when you talk politics with them, unless you bring up Rick Perry, you're good. they're all good people.
So Jennifer takes very good care of them as well. You always have the happy hour, the get together, and then they all get together, what happened during the day, and then you go off to dinner, some to the specialty, some to the dining room with you. And like Tom said, we've had the pleasure of dining just about every cruise with you and your Aggies.
We appreciate it. Y'all take great care of us. You know, I like to brag that Texas A&M was the very first school to join up with Oceana. So we were, I think it was 2004 or five, that we were the very first alumni affinity program to travel. We took a gamble on Oceana and it worked. And so now it's a great fit, just with the fit of the crew and staff and our alumni. We love it. And always, I mean, we're doing 10 to 15 trips with Oceana a year, and it's, wow. The same goes
for the Go Next people, your operator. Mm-hmm. The Go Next people are the same. They're all college alumni. They're all successful people, and they're party people. Although our regulars, some of the Ocean regulars are like, oh no, Go Next is here, because Go Next parties. One time they had a Bloody Mary party at 10 in the morning in Horizons. This wasn't your school. This was Arizona State or somebody. And they're in the corner of Horizons at 10 in the morning, slamming down Bloody Marys, and the other guests, like, they're over there having fun. Yeah, okay, that's kind of what you do. All the Go Next people are the same with the Aggies. So, and I, it's true, though. All right, we better run because we have Chris in the holding area all the way from England. Thank you for the time. Great to see you. Can't wait to see you again. Can't wait to see the Aggies again. Can't wait to go back to work, actually. You know? Yeah. This is not work. This is just, you know, we have fun making fun of BJ, and John brings some magicians on with rabbits and rope, and Dottie does birthdays. That's pretty much the program right there. So, but thank you so much for your time, Dottie.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks. Take care. Stay well. Safe travels when you are on the road.
Yeah, all the best. Thank you. Take care. Good luck, Aggies.
Bye.
Yeah.